that your face hurts, but you stink and I've got to go. So I was angry with her, and my apology didn't mean anything. Although, when you punch someone in the face, Kaylin, you should apologize when you get done punching them in the face, because it hurts that person. We don't want to hurt each other, so you should apologize. Apologizing was the right thing to do, but did my apology mean anything? No. Why? Because I didn't care. I wasn't actually sorry. Now, many of us can find ourselves in a place, all right, whoa, that's not, we don't have to hit each other in the face. It's just a story. And I was in elementary school, so you guys are older. Higher level of responsibility. Stop hitting each other. When I was going to apologize to my sister, I didn't actually mean my apology, because I was still super angry with her for what she did to me. And when I was thinking about what I wanted, what I needed, how she made me feel, how she was actually hurting me, just thinking about myself, the action was right, but the motive was wrong. And I couldn't get into a place where I actually could think about, oh no, wait, that actually hurt you. I'm sorry that I caused you pain in this way. Because when we're selfish, it can play out in a couple of ways in our lives. We can do the right thing for the wrong reasons, like my apology. I can do what I should be doing, but not for the right reasons. And it's going to cause us to be in a super empty place where we feel broken, distant from God, and distant from other people. What Jesus did for us can allow us to live selflessly, but so much of our lives, we just live in a selfish place. We're going to be in a series. You guys are going to be in a series for the next several weeks about failures in the Bible, people who have made horrible mistakes and decisions. And this week, we are talking about Jonah, who is an epic failure, just like the people who, like, were trying to have marshmallows in their mouth and could not say Collide is awesome after just 5 marshmallows. Sort of embarrassing for all of us, actually. But Jonah, who knows what Jonah's famous for? Student, not Lenny. Being swallowed by a whale or fish. Yes, a large sea-going creature swallows Jonah. Why? Why was he swallowed? Sergey. Nineveh. Nice. Bless you, Jenna. That's exactly right. Yeah. No, that's good. And the storm stopped. Yes, very good. Wow, that was impressive. Wow, killing it. Was that like a VeggieTales thing, or you just remember the story? Or? All right. So God says to Jonah, you need to go preach to these people. He's like, I hate those people so much. Those people are horrible. So he gets on a ship, and he goes the opposite direction to Tarshish. And on the way, there's this huge storm, and the sailors are like, something's wrong. Jonah, you're a problem. They throw him over. The storm stops. He gets swallowed. The fish takes him back to where he was supposed to go all along. He's going to Nineveh, and he's actually going to do the right thing, but for the wrong reason. So we're going to see that it doesn't work out exactly the way we would hope. This story doesn't. Actually, many biblical stories have like a happy ending. Something goes positively at the end. This does not. This ends in kind of a bad place. Jonah's just kind of messed up inside, and we see how that plays out. So he gets thrown up onto land. The verse before chapter 3 says this, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So he was vomited up which sounds awful. That sounds like a horrible experience, but that's what happens to him. And this is what happens. Jonah is there. He's going to Nineveh, and this is God commanding him for the second time. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the city, the great city of Nineveh, and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days for him to go through it. So it took him a long time even to walk through the city. That's how big it is. There are tons of people that live there. So he walks through the city. Jonah began going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming that 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So he says, you have 40 more days, and then God is going to overthrow the city. He will destroy all of you. He's going through telling them, listen, your sin before God is going to cause you destruction. You have 40 days, and then God's going to overthrow the city. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed for all of them. It means they weren't going to eat for a very long time. From the greatest to the least, they put on sackcloth. They put on these uncomfortable things to wear to show everyone that they were mourning. They felt badly about their sin before God. And they, as a group, as a community, as a city, were going to say, God, we are sorry for the things that were done. They're repenting of their sin. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne and took off his royal robes and covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. By decree of the king and his nobles, do not let animals, herds, or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. I'm not sure why the animals were covered with sackcloth, but they didn't really know what was going on. That must have been weird. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When the word of God, when God saw that they did what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring them the destruction he had threatened. So these people hear God's word. They repent. This is sort of exactly what we want to happen. You want to see people hear God's word, recognize their own sin, and say, God, I'm so sorry for that. We want your forgiveness. We want you to know how badly we feel. And we want your grace and compassion. And Jonah has done exactly like one of the most incredible things. He sees all of these people come back to God, but he doesn't care. All he cares about is how frustrated he is with these people and what he wants. He wanted the city to be destroyed. But he knows that God's gracious and compassionate. But he's doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. Now, this is sort of a vague illustration, but when I've like, sometimes I watch like TV or movies, and every once in a while there will be something that happens where this like really popular guy or girl gets together with their friends and then sort of fake ask someone out on a date or to prom or homecoming or something, and they'll pretend that they like this person, and then something will happen and they'll get their like heart totally crushed and broken. Now, asking someone to homecoming or prom is not that big of a deal. That's like fine. It's not actually a bad thing in and of itself, but your motive makes all the difference. Why you're doing that thing makes all the difference. So when you find out, if you get asked to something like that, and then you find out that it was like a joke, that's crushing. That would hurt so badly because of the motive. You can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. It's really easy. Just like me with my sister, I was supposed to apologize. You should apologize in that situation, but it didn't mean anything because my heart was selfishly thinking about how frustrated I was. And when we're in a selfish place, it's easy to really mistreat other people for our own benefit. Trick someone else so that we feel a little better about ourselves. When we think about ourselves all the time, we can start to treat other people like they're pawns for us to manipulate and shift around for our own joy and pleasure. And that is living in a selfish place. It's not God's desire and hope for us. Jonah goes into a city and he's like, wow, look at all of these people. I'm only here because God forced me to be here. I'm only here because God sort of caused a storm to happen and this fish threw me up here, and now I'm going into this city and I'm going to proclaim the word of God and all of these people repent. But nothing's changed inside of his heart. Here's one of the fears that I have, is that we as a group of people can continue to come to church and go to services and go on retreats or mission trips, do these things, but yet our heart is still really far from God. And we can do the right stuff, and on the outside it looks good. But if your heart is in the wrong place and you're living just in a selfish state of mind, our hearts can be far from God. And it can look good on the outside, but be broken on the inside. When are the times that you find yourself doing the right things, but your heart is just distant, and you're here just thinking about the homework that you have to do for tomorrow, or you just don't care, you're wondering where your best friend is sitting, why aren't they sitting closer to you than, you know, like, what, is something wrong, did I do something? We can find ourselves in a place where all of our thoughts are just about us all the time. And that keeps us far from God's heart and his perspective. The hope here is that Jonah sees all of these lost people and he would think, God, I can see them the way you see them. I can love them the way you love them. But he can't. Because all he wants is his own perspective and will to be done. He wants these people to be punished. Sometimes when we get upset and frustrated with somebody, we just want to see them be punished for the thing that they've done. And when we do that, and we want this justice for ourselves, we miss God's heart, and we miss a bigger perspective that would be and is so much better than us living in a selfish place. Jonah preaches to them, they repent, but he doesn't care. And we see this play out in the last chapter of the book of Jonah in chapter 4. It says, But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. He's so upset that he names all of these great characteristics. These things are good about God. He said, I know you're compassionate. I know you're abounding in love. These are really good characteristics, but because he's in such a selfish place, he can't even see them as good. And when God gives grace to these people, he wants to kill him. He's like, it's better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made a shelter for himself, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. So he pouts out to the city. He sits down. He's like, oh, I hope God destroys it. And then I get to see that. And these people get punished for the horrible things that they've done. When we get upset with somebody, we get frustrated because somebody's wronged us. We really want sometimes for them to be punished. And Jonah's sitting there, and he's just thinking, oh, I want God to get these people. And he makes a shade for himself, and he sits down. Then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah and give him shade over his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. So this plant sort of grows really quickly because God can do whatever God wants. And he makes this plant grow up, and some shade happens, and he's so happy. Jonah's like, oh, this is great. I love this plant. What's Jonah thinking about at this point? What's the primary thing he's thinking about? Himself. He's just like, I don't care. I got shade. I'm out here. This is awesome. Maybe God will destroy this city. I'd get to see it. It'd be great. But at dawn the next day, God provided, God, listen to the words, God provided the plant with shade. At dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. He killed the plant, provided a worm, killed the plant, and then he provides a scorching east wind, something really hot to make him really uncomfortable. God's providing these things. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. This is the second time he tells God, you might as well just kill me. This is like a bad idea. Do not do this. He says, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Look at what God does. He lets this plant come up, and Jonah is like in love with this plant. He's like, thank you, plant. Plant, you're so great. Thank you. You're the best, plant. Thank you. And then it dies, and he's furious. He loves a plant more than he loves a huge city of people who are lost. Kyle Hoekstrand and I just went to Haiti recently. This girl loves dogs, right? Real dogs. And there's dogs in Haiti, and they're skinny, and they're starving. And she'd see a dog, she'd be like, oh, dog. One of the things that frustrates me about going to Haiti sometimes with people who love animals a lot is there are actual people in Haiti that are starving. And when you drive past a dog, it's like, who cares about a friggin' dog? Like, I don't care, but it's like, that's okay. It's not a big deal. I'm not trying to point you out. Like, this happens. You're not the only one. This has happened a lot. But it's interesting the way, like, we get so worked up about things that, like, when you measure it against a person, a real person with a soul that's created in the image of God, a plant, he's so upset about a plant, and God causes it to grow and then kills it so that he can then show Jonah, look, this thing you care about so much, it doesn't mean anything. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about this plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. Number three, third time he tells God to kill him. He's like, it's like having a conversation with a four-year-old. It's like, I'm so mad. That's a plant. I wish I was dead, God. But the Lord said, you have concerned about this plant. You've been so concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for this great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Apparently the animals matter to God as well. So Jonah's in a place where he can't even recognize something that's incredible for what it is. And when we're selfish, it doesn't matter what happens to us. We feel like everything is letting us down, and it's never good enough. And then we're like constantly playing this comparison game because we're trying to make ourselves feel good. And we end up focusing on things that really don't matter at all. Like Jonah, he's like focused on this plan. He's like, I love this plan. I love this plan. It goes away. He's like, feels empty and broken. Selfishness is going to make you feel empty. Focusing on just your thoughts, your needs, your desires, it will make you feel empty. I was in a small group not long ago, a couple months ago, and I had two kids in that small group. One of them said that he got his ACT score back, and it was a 33. And he was like super upset because his friend got a 34. Now, a 33 is a phenomenal score. The perfect score is a 36. 33 is really good. But when we focus on ourselves, we can't even take joy in something that's good. Now, he was joking around. He wasn't being super serious. He was sort of messing around. But it was interesting the way something that was good in our lives, when you're focused on yourself, nothing is going to be good enough for you. You're going to be constantly comparing yourself to other people. And when you compare to other people, both people lose. Because you're never going to be good enough. You'll never make yourself feel good enough. Selfishness it's going to destroy and will destroy your relationships because you'll do the right thing for the wrong reasons, and it'll keep your heart far from God and far from other people. And you will be empty because you're trying to fill yourself. And when you start to really see what Jesus did for you on the cross, when you start to really see that God, who created everything, loves you in spite of the horrible things that you've done, in spite of the selfishness that you live in, Jesus came to give you something that you could never give to yourself. And then when you accept that, you have the ability to stop trying to earn it from everybody around you. You don't have to trick people into thinking that you're perfect. You don't have to be better than everyone around you. You can take joy in things because God has given you something that gives you perspective and value because he loves you in spite of the bad things that you've done. I love this old hymn that says, "The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." When you look at the cross and you think about what God's done and the forgiveness that he's given us, the price that he paid on our behalf, then you can be filled to a place that you can live selflessly and not selfishly. Find yourself in what he has done for you on the cross and love other people because you first were loved by God. I want you guys to think about when you go to your connection groups, what are the ways in which you find selfishness in your own heart, and how does that hurt your relationship with other people and with God? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word, that we get a chance to just look at it and think about how you give us things, but yet you take them away, and we go through pain, yet that reminds us that you're good and present, and this world lets us down, but you always are there for us. God, I pray that the reality of the cross, the beautiful light that you shine into the darkness of this world, would remind us and show us that the things that we so often care so much about mean nothing in eternity. All that matters is who you are, God, and how we love other people as a result of knowing more about you and how much you have loved us. God, please just be with us and help us to know more of who you are. Reveal yourself more fully to us today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.